Legends 92.9 now brings you Lyrics and Legends with your host, Gary Ware.
The program you're listening to tonight is Lyrics and Legends, and we're doing a little insight into the history of music in Wheeler County and Shamrock. And typically we talk to musicians and songwriters. Tonight we're taking a little different direction, going to look at more history. And I've got Buck Weatherby in the studio with me. He's going to be sharing some stuff with us. We'll visit a little bit tonight with legendary Bill Mack, who's in the Country Music DJ Hall of Fame and a Grammy Award-winning songwriter. That's easy for you to say, Buck.
Right. I'll tell you, I've said this before, but Bill Mack worldwide has probably done as much, if not more, to put Shamrock on the map than any one other single individual.
Yeah, I think so. Well, it's good to have you in here with us, Buck.
Well, it's good to be here.
You're the voice of Ware Chevrolet every now and then.
Well,
I had somebody ask me that at the movie theater last night. Like, who is that guy that does your commercials?
I had a guy walk up to me in the grocery store the other day, and he says, is that you on the radio here? And I said, what station? He says, well, that new country station, The Legend. And I said, yeah, I'm afraid that's me. And he says, man, you just made me $50.
Came over to the movies last night. We were waiting in line to get popcorn, and the guy says, who is that that does those commercials for you? Buck Weatherby. Oh, okay. He was underwhelmed.
Right. A lot of people, that's the story of my life, being underwhelmed.
Oh, so let's talk a little bit about you before we get into this other stuff. We've been kind of talking about the history of Shamrock music, and I know you got started and were in radio for, what, how long, 30?
Oh, man, I managed radio stations for like 35 years.
35 years.
I came back here to the old hometown to take care of my mom. But I started out here in the same station that Bill Mack started in.
Right.
At KEVA.
Not to give away any ages or anything, but. About how long ago was that?
That was a long dang time ago. I think I started out there in, I think it was 1958.
Oh, okay. All right.
And people say, 58, and you're still alive?
So how long were you there?
I worked there that summer, and then when I graduated from college, I came back here and did about 6 months on the station, just trying to figure out what I wanted to do, and went from there to Oklahoma City in radio.
Oh, okay. And but you were telling me there were at least five different guys that went on to careers in broadcasting in one form or another.
Right. Of course, Bill Mack was the first one. Tim Tindall, who actually was a good buddy of mine in high school, and he went to work out there, I guess he was about a sophomore in high school or something. And after he left and went to Denver, I kind of took his place out there. But Tim went on to, he was a number one DJ in Denver, went on to Hawaii, and was the number one TV newscaster in Hawaii for years. And, of course, I did stints in the radio business in Oklahoma City. Went from Oklahoma City to Wichita, Kansas, and from Wichita, Kansas to Jacksonville, Florida. I was in Wichita for 15 years managing stations, in Jacksonville for 16 years, and then back here to the old hometown. Van Orick was another local that was a number one DJ in Denver, Colorado. A kid that worked with me from over Magic City, went to high school here in Shamrock, named Joel Shankel. On the air, he was Jolly J. Shankel in Oklahoma City, and worked for me for a while in Wichita, as a matter of fact.
Oh, okay.
So there were five of us out of this little town of Shamrock that ended up as radio as our profession. Yeah. And I always give Bill Mack credit for showing us the way.
Well, and I'm sure there's a lot of truth to that. So. Uh-huh. Did you have any on-air names that you used?
There was a time when I couldn't say my last name of Weatherby and make it sizzle, so for a while I was Frank Buck.
Frank Buck? Kind of like Bill Mack.
But then with years of practice, I got where I could say Weatherby on the air.
Oh, I thought you were going to say you couldn't use your last name because you were afraid somebody might track you down and want money.
Yeah. A lot of people ask me how I got the name Buck. I was Butch as a kid. And when I got to playing basketball for my coach, John Bond, every time he'd want me to do something, he'd say, Buck, get in there. He never could remember Butch, which everybody else called me, you know. So I became Buck all of a sudden. So anyhow, that worked out pretty good for me in business. So
Buck's pretty memorable. So when you were in Wichita, you got into writing a little bit.
Well, yeah. Actually, I made my way through college sitting on a drum stool, playing in a band. And we might even play one of my early records from my college days that a songwriting buddy of mine named Ronnie Price and I wrote that got recorded over at the studio that Buddy Holly recorded in.
Where was he from, Ronnie?
Ronnie was from the big metropolis of Burns Flat, Oklahoma.
So Ronnie Price was one of your friends that you recorded with, and then his brother wrote a song with...
Yeah, Chris Price, one of his younger brothers, wrote a song that Roy Orbison and Emmylou Harris won a Grammy Award with.
And what was that one?
That Loving You Feeling Again.
Okay, and you remember when that was?
I was out of the band at that time. Ronnie and I started a band called The Velvets when we were in college over at Southwestern State in Weatherford, and the younger brothers got with the band after I went into a radio career, and they ended up as a group called Trader Price. Matter of fact, they backed up Reba McEntire on a European tour, and the last 5 years that Orbison was arrived, they were his band.
Oh, okay. All right. And you guys also did some stuff out in Clovis?
Yeah, we recorded a couple of songs out in Clovis, New Mexico. One song that I wrote, Ronnie and I actually wrote it together. I would write most of the words, and Ronnie would put the guitar and the melody and everything to it. But the other song, and that was a song called White Bucks. We used to play at this little place in Clinton, Oklahoma, on a rather regular basis, and it's called Sooner Inn. And there was this Native American kid. Back then we called them Indian kids. He wasn't actually a kid, but he was old enough to be in a bar. But he wore white buck shoes. And sometimes when he'd be out there dancing, that's about all you could see was those white buck shoes. And it kind of inspired us to write a song called White Bucks. It was late one night, and I saw this joint, and it was starting to rock. I parked my car and strolled in the door, and oh my goodness, what I saw bopping across the floor. It was a pair of white bucks bopping 1, 2, 3. Man, they were the coolest you'll ever see. Had very intellectual lyrics back in those days.
It was late one night, about 12 o'clock. I saw a diver, they were starting to rock. I parked my car and then I strolled in the door. Guess what I saw? Bopping across the floor was a pair of white bucks bopping 1, 2, 3. Man, they were the coolest that you'll ever see. Slipping and sliding to a mellow bopping tune. Come on, honey, give your daddy room. Well, the white bucks are gonna rock. Well, those white bucks are gonna jive. When white bucks start to strut, this joint's gonna come to life. Pull away your penny loafers and your blue suede shoes. Get a pair of white bucks and dance in rhythm and blues. White bucks are made to order for those that like to rock. Moan in the morning, well, 9 o'clock. You need a pair of white bucks popping 1, 2, 3. Then you'll be the coolest that they'll ever see. Slipping and a sliding to a mellow bopping tune. Come on, honey, give your daddy. Well, the white bucks are gonna rock. Well, those white bucks are gonna dive. When white bucks start to strut, this joint's gonna come to life. I made the order for those that like to rock. In the morning, clown round the clock. You need a pair of white bucks, bopping 1, 2, 3. Then you be the coolest that they'll ever see. Slipping and a sliding to a mellow bopping tune. Come on, honey, give your daddy room. Well, the white bugs are gonna rock. Well, those white bugs are gonna jive. When white bugs start to strut, this joint's gonna come to life.
The program you're listening to is Lyrics and Legends on 92.9. I've got in the studio with me tonight Buck Weatherby and White Buck by Buck.
Yeah, that was a song called White Bucks. As a matter of fact, when Ronnie Price and his brothers were backing up Reba McEntire on a European tour, they were in London, England, getting ready to do a concert, and they were backstage, and they brought in some record producers from over there in London. And Ronnie Price, my friend that I used to write with and play in the band with, we actually started that band, was introduced to this record producer over there. And the record producer said, Ronnie Price of Ronnie Price and the Velvets that did White Bucks? This in London, England, okay? And Ronnie says, well, yeah, and all the rest of the Price brothers were kind of standing there with their mouth open. And this kid says, you know, I took a course in College of West Texas Rock and Roll. And there was a segment in a chapter there about Ronnie Price and the Velvets. Small world. That's a true story.
That is cool.
The funny part of that recording session that we did out in Clovis, New Mexico with Norman Petty. Well, Petty was the studio and the manager of Buddy Holly. And Buddy Holly wrote a song called Look at Me, and actually kind of wrote it for our band. And we thought, wow, that's going to be a number one hit. Buddy Holly wrote a song for us. Guess what song got played on the radio all the time? White Bucks.
So have you got a song, a copy of that song Buddy wrote for you?
Yeah, I just happened to bring a copy of it here.
All right.
Why don't we play that song?
We need to listen to that, I'm sure. That's amazing.
What's gonna happen to you when you've broken too many people's hearts and can't find anyone new?
Yep, 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 yep.
Say, look at me and tell me about that twinkle in your eye. Is that twinkle in your eye meant for me or meant for some other guy? Look at me. Gonna happen to me when you've spoken sweet words of love to me, and I want to marry you.
Yup, 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 yup.
Say, look at me and tell me about that twinkle in your eye. Is that twinkle in your eye meant for me or meant for some other guy? Look at me from now on. No, we share. Look at me from now on. Let me know you care. Hey, look at me and tell me what's gonna happen to me when you've spoken sweet words of love to me, and I want to marry you.
Yup, 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 yup. Look at me.
The program you're listening to is Lyrics and Legends on 92.9. I've got in the studio with me tonight Buck Weatherby, and Buck and I have been doing a little history on music in Wheeler County and Shamrock, and kind of went up through his college years. So a few years later, you wrote some songs, and one of them turned out to be quite a surprise.
A big surprise, as a matter of fact. I was in Wichita, Kansas, And I was actually writing a song. I knew Conway Twitty fairly well. When I was in Oklahoma City and KTOK in Oklahoma City, Conway was kind of in between being a rock and roll record star and a country music legend. And he tried the oil business to no avail. He tried some restaurants called Twitty Birds, which they're not around today. That's about all I'll say about that. But anyhow, I had an inspiration to write a song for Conway and Loretta one time, and it's called The Ring. The Ring in His Boot by My Bed. Right. And it's kind of a girl song and had some kind of racy lyrics like songs back in those days did. But we were cutting a demo on this song, and we were trying to find a girl to sing Loretta's part. I was going to do Conway Twitty's part on the demo that I wanted to play for Conway. So we found this little girl that was raised on country music, but she was going to be a rock and roll star, and she was singing at a rock band out of a place in Wichita called the Fireside Lounge. And so we went out there, piano player and I went out there and talked to her one night, and she didn't want any part of cutting a demo on a country song because she was a rock singer. And but we did talk her into it, and there was a recording studio in downtown Wichita called Big Dog Studios. And Sheldon Coleman, that was an heir to the Coleman Lantern Company, had a band in those days called Dewey and the Big Dogs. Well, he had plenty of money and built his own recording studio. So we recorded The Ring down there. And I thought it sounded pretty good. Conway Twitty was coming into town with Conway and Loretta doing a big concert there. And so I had known Conway, and he remembered my name, and so I played him the demo of it, and he said, "Who is that singing that song?" And I said, "Well, I can't ever remember the girl's name. Some little girl singing in a rock club here in Wichita." And he listened to it, and he said, "Man, that girl's pretty good," but says, "You know, Loretta can't sing that." Loretta can't sing that song. So it never did be a Conway Twitty Loretta Lynn hit. As a matter of fact, it never was a hit anywhere. I shopped that song all around, and I always wondered if Shania Twain's song, Whose Bed Have Your Boots Been Under, was kind of copied after some of the lyrics in my song. But we'll play this demo for you, and I'll tell you who the surprise is, who the little girl was that sang that demo record.
So you need to listen close. I know you diehard country fans are going to figure this out, and then we'll help everybody else. So we'll be back right after this.
Only you dream. darling, I love you and need you, not for a day or a sometime thing, but for a lifetime of love that's true. If only, darling, you'd let me give her back the ring that I hide in my boot by your bed.
And we found love like only you dream of. Love that could be but can't be. For he has a wife and I have my life. He wants me for his own, giving up his past, his wife, his home. But I'll live my life and turn my head when he puts the ring in his boot by my bed.
All right. Well, the program we're listening to is Lyrics and Legends. Got Buck Weatherby. That was what a song. So finish this story, Buck. You got to tell me who this is.
Well, here comes the big surprise. Like I mentioned a moment ago, I shopped that song with everybody I could think of that might be interested in recording that, to no avail. About 3 or 4 years went by, and I was in Jacksonville, Florida at the time, actually, and a buddy of mine from Wichita called me and says, "Did you ever do anything with that song, The Ring?" And I said, "No." And he says, "Do you remember who that was that sang that for you?" And I said, "You know, I never could remember that girl's name." And he says, you don't know who that was? And I said, "No." And he says, "That was Martina McBride." And I said, "Oh my goodness." So that was the big surprise to me. And I guess the bragging rights that I have now is, you know, Martina McBride recorded one of my songs.
That's right. Yeah. And you got to sing a duet with her, which is also pretty darn cool.
Yeah.
The program's Lyrics and Legends you're listening to tonight. I've got Buck Weatherby in the studio. We've been taking a little bit different turn tonight, talking about more about the history of music in the air, kind of getting more into the legend end of it than the lyrics. We've had some songwriters on. One of them also is Buck Weatherby, but this next individual we're going to talk about, this kind of went under the radar to me until recently. A fellow named Gene Price. Talk about that a little bit.
Gene Price is, as far as Shamrock and Wheeler County legends, is probably one of the least appreciated out of all of the musicians and talent that have come out of this area of Texas. But this guy was great. And he started right here in Shamrock, went to high school here in Shamrock. I remember him, a little kind of toe-headed, little chubby kid. And he was actually born in 1944 right here in Shamrock. Went to high school here. Interesting story. He was raised actually by his grandparents. And my dad, some of you remember my dad, Prof. Weatherby, taught ag here, vocational ag, and FFA for like 37 years. Why? My dad was kind of a mentor to Gene, and even Gene's wife had sent me a nice letter kind of bringing us all up to date on some of Gene's doings and some of the people that he credited. And his wife, Pat, had mentioned in her letter that Prof. Weatherby was one of the inspirations that kind of helped Gene get through high school. Well, there was a time after my dad had, he was still teaching school when he started doing surveys, land surveys, and he hired Gene to kind of help him with that work. And in those days, we had a little chicken house out in our backyard. And when we stopped raising, when I graduated, I was the chicken farmer, okay? I raised pigs and chickens. And so when I left Shamrock to go to college, that little chicken house became kind of a storage shed. And I bought an old guitar on a trip down to Mexico one time and had given up on learning how to do anything but play drums. And that old guitar was hanging out there where Dad kept his survey equipment. And one day Gene says, "You know, are you ever going to do anything with that old guitar hanging out there in the chicken house?" And Dad says, "No, that's Buck's, and I doubt if he'll ever use it. Do you want it?" And he says, "Yeah, I'd like to learn to play that." Well, Gene was left-handed, and all of his music career, he played a regular guitar upside down.
Oh. Wow.
You know, but anyhow, he learned to play guitar on my old guitar hanging out in the chicken house there. Now, there's an interesting piece of history, right? But anyhow, Gene went on to be quite a songwriter. And in the letter that his wife, Pat, wrote, says he left Shamrock with a kid named Jerry Brown in a Corvette to follow his dream of songwriting with nothing but a change of clothes and a notebook full of songs and my old guitar there. So anyhow, he went out and he ended up in Bakersfield, California, got under the influence of a guy named Buck Owens.
Right.
He played with Buck Owens for a while and wrote some songs with Buck Owens. But other than having some fairly big hits himself, one of them we're going to play here in a minute that Gene wrote and recorded on Capitol Records was In the Arms of Love. And I think you'll still hear that on the legend, won't you, Gary?
Yeah, we've got that in.
Yeah,
great. I think the cut we have even has Merle introducing Gene.
Great, great song. And Gene Price traveled for quite a few years heading up Merle Haggard's band. As a matter of fact, he was coming through town here one time and went up to see my mom and dad up there on North Wall Street and asked Dad if he would like to come to the Merle Haggard concert that was going to be in Amarillo the next night. And he gave Dad a couple of tickets, and Dad and Mom went to the Merle Haggard concert. And when Gene came out and played a few songs before Merle came out on the stage, Gene Price had my mom and dad stand up out in the audience. Oh. And that's quite a thrill for a couple of Shamrock people to be recognized in a Merle Haggard concert. But Gene was he was quite a guy. I ran into him a couple of times when I was visiting out in Las Vegas. He was always playing in a lounge or backing up some band or doing some studio work. But he was quite a musician and a heck of a guy.
Okay. All right. We're going to take a minute. We want to listen to this Gene Price song, In the Arms of Love. And the beginning of this, it's introed by Merle Haggard. So let's listen to that, and then we'll be right back.
Over on the bass guitar, a fellow making his debut in country music, and he writes a fine song, and he has a big future in this business, I believe. Would you welcome to the microphone as he sings his new record, In the Arms of Love. Here he is, Gene Price.
Thank you. save me from loneliness, rescue me with your love. I'll be safe just as long as you keep me wrapped tightly in the arms of love. Should go. So please give me what I dream of, the kind of dream sent from above. I'll be satisfied as long as you keep me wrapped tightly in the arms of love, in the arms.
All right, well, the program we're going to listen to is Lyrics and Legends. You know, the whole deal, it just, until we got on the radio, and especially until I heard Bill tell some stories, I didn't realize exactly what all had taken place here early on in the, say, 50s and 60s. You know, we got that story about Gene Price, and then we have others. One of them Bill tells, too, was about May Axton coming through while Bill was on the air.
Oh, yeah.
Are you familiar with that story?
Oh, yeah.
And, this relates to a Shamrock fellow too, May Axton, and I don't remember who her writing partner was, but they wrote a demo for a song and offered it to Glenn Reeves, who was from Shamrock and who was a musician. And
Glenn Reeves was the son of our fire chief back in those days.
He
was a fellow by the name of Speck Reeves. Glenn Reeves was a musician, a singer, and whatnot, and I forget who wrote Heartbreak Hotel with May Axton, but Glenn Reeves, they paid him $35, I think to cut the demo.
They offered him a percentage or
$35, and he took the $35. Lord mercy.
Bad decision. Because then that went on to be Elvis's big...
Yeah. And I ran into Glenn Reeves. He became a good friend of mine after I moved to Florida and was in the radio business down there. And he lived just outside of Jacksonville. So he and I became pretty good friends and talking about Shamrock history. And he's told me that story 100 times. But I don't know how much money I missed by taking that $35 instead of a percentage of Heartbreak Hotel.
What I really enjoyed listening to, Bill did the original version with Glenn Reeves, and when he sang it, I mean, Elvis copied that thing to the T.
Yeah, that was amazing.
Yeah, so anyway, that's also some pretty interesting Shamrock music history, I suppose. Well, the program you're listening to is Lyrics and Legends. We've been honored to have Buck Weatherby in the studio with us. We've kind of taken a little different track than what we've done in the past few weeks.
Hello there.
Bill, can you hear me now?
I hear you now.
That's better.
Hey, Bill, can you hear me now?
Yeah.
Unfortunately. Jim, can you turn Buck down? How are you doing, friend?
Hey, I'm doing fine. How are you doing?
We're good.
Everything is hunky-dunky here in the old hometown of Shamrock, Bill.
Good.
We're going to visit a little bit. We've got Buck in here. Going to kind of do a program on the history of the Wheeler County and Shamrock music, and part of it we want to visit with you about. So,
Bill, what year was it that you put your melodious tones on KEVA for the first time?
1949.
Tell us how that came about just a little bit.
Well, I went to college and wasn't doing good in college, and I was looking for radio jobs, hitchhiking from Canyon, Texas to various places. Finally, I thought, well, I just got to get out of, because back then, it didn't matter how much education you had to have experience. So I left It was West Texas State College at the time, Canyon. And my mother called me, and she said, Shamrock is putting a radio station in. So I came down to Shamrock, came back home, moved in with my parents. And when they were building the station, I went out there, and I'd go to the store for them. I'd do anything for the handyman as they built that radio station. A guy named John Kennedy was the manager. And I kept telling him I wanted a job. And he said, you'll have one. So that's how I got it.
John Kennedy, that's pretty interesting.
And, yep, that was his name.
So how long were you on there at KEVA?
Less than a year. Then I moved to Amarillo.
So where'd you go in Amarillo? What station were you on there?
It was KLYN.
So was it a country and western format, or was it?
Oh, no, it was just a regular radio station. They played all kinds of music, but they gave me a country music show.
Oh, okay. All right.
Now, did you go from there to Wichita Falls?
That's right. Amarillo to Wichita Falls.
How long were you in Wichita Falls?
7-8 years. Then I went to Lubbock.
And you were in Lubbock when Buddy Holly passed?
Yeah. I made the announcement. His parents were neighbors of mine. And when I made the announcement on the air, they had not told the Hollies or informed them that their son had been killed, but Mrs. Holly was ironing Mr. Holly's shirt, listening to my show. That's how she found out that her son had been killed in that crash.
Oh, man.
Wow.
That'd be tough.
Mm. Now, you went from Lubbock down to
San Antonio.
Oh, to San Antonio. Okay.
Yep. I was there for 3 years, then I came to Fort Worth.
So in San Antonio, is that where you were probably one of the first ones that played Ray Charles' country album? That was pretty groundbreaking, wasn't it?
It really was. I was with KENS. That's the Express News Station.
Oh,
they were owned by the newspaper. They had a television station and a radio station, and I was with the radio station. Yeah, that Ray Charles song, oh, man. You see, I was one of the very first to play it. You mentioned that. And the guy that brought it to me, his name was Mel Foree, and he was with Acuff Rose Music, and they published I Can't Stop Loving You. So he said, Bill, you got to play this song. And I said, I can't play that, man. That's a rock song. It's Ray Charles. He said, you got to play it. I promise you. I promise you, if you don't get deluged with phone calls talking about how they like this song, they love this song, he said, I'll never ask you to play another recording. So I thought, well, so what? So I went on the air and told everybody I was playing Ray Charles, and here he was. And I hit I Can't Stop Loving You, and Mel was right. The phone started ringing.
Wow.
That was a two-edged sword, Bill. There was a lot of people thought Ray Charles was crazy for cutting that album. And all the radio, I was in radio at the time, and man, there was a lot of people in country music said, we can't play Ray Charles, you know, just like what you were talking about. But oh my goodness, it took off from there, didn't it?
That's right. The people demanded it, and the country stations, not all of them, but most of the country stations played Ray Charles' version of that song.
That song went number one on the country charts, didn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, that was. That's still one of my favorites after all
written
these years.
It was written by Don Gibson.
So tell us a little bit about Don. Were you familiar with him? Did you get to know him?
Oh, yeah, I knew Don. He is one of the great songwriters. And I love the way he sang, too. He was a great singer.
Where was he from originally?
Knoxville, Tennessee, or somewhere around. Yeah, I think it was Knoxville.
Okay. So from San Antonio, you ended up at Fort Worth.
WBAP, 30 years. 30 years, WBAP. Then
finally, we're able to keep a job, were you?
That's right.
Yeah. Fort Worth was pretty darn good to you, wasn't it, Bill?
It was good to me. Still is.
One of my favorite stories you shared with me was when Willie came to spend the evening with you and brought all the autographed photos. And
100, 8 by 10 pictures.
How many of those do you still have?
He said, Bill, he called me first. And he said, Bill, could you use some company tonight? I had just started that show. It was 1969. I just started the all-night show, and Willie called, said, could you use some company? And I said, yeah, because he was just trying to get started. He wasn't the Willie Nelson that's around today. He was in Nashville trying to make his move to Texas and do his own thing in music. So I said, yeah, come on out. So he came in, and he had an armload of 8 to 10 pictures, and he said, I tell you what, I brought 100 pictures, and we'll give one picture out to everybody who wants one, and I can get more. And when he left the building 5 hours later, I had 80 pictures still. We gave away 20 pictures that night. He doesn't like for me to tell that story, but I tell it every time I get a chance.
I'll have to put a copy of that on our Facebook page, because in that picture, he's not the Willie everybody grew to know and love. He's clean cut with a jacket on, I think, or a sweater, maybe something like that. Anyway,
I had it on my Facebook page last week.
Tell us a little bit about your first attempts at songwriting. I want to lead into drinking champagne, but I kind of want to know how you got started writing and a little bit of that story.
Well, I was writing songs when I was just a kid. They weren't country songs. I just would write songs and sing them for my mother. Then when I got into the radio, I decided I wanted to be a songwriter. So I tried, and I was not an overnight success. It took me years before anybody would record one of my songs. And the first to record one of my songs was Perlin Husky. Song titled "I'm Missing Lots of Lovin'," and his name was Terry Preston at the time, and he recorded for Capitol Records. And Lou Chud, the guy that published my songs, called me and said, "One of Capitol Records artists is going to record 'I'm Missing Lots of Lovin'." I said, "Who?" And he said, "His name is Terry Preston." Well, the record came out; it didn't do a thing. No matter if it was a bomb, and I thought, "Whatever happened to Terry Preston?" He changed his name to Perlin Husky. I told Perlin, I said, I've heard of people having such bad records that they change labels, but I never heard of anybody changing their name because it was such a bomb. That's a true story.
You think there's any
then
copies?
Finally, I did. I got drinking champagne and blue, of course. And
you think copies of "I'm Missing Lots of Lovin'" around anywhere?
You can't find that. You can't find that anywhere. I've got a copy of it, but they're hard to find.
Well, your one of your first labels was Starday, wasn't it?
Imperial Records. Imperial Records. That's the same one that Fats Domino was on, and
oh yeah,
Slim Whitman, and that were basically a rock label, but they opened up their country channel or country series, and they signed me up. I never had a hit as a singer nor as a songwriter with Imperial. And I didn't do anything with Starday either.
I know when I was serving my time out at KEVA, you know, you set a good example for some of us local kids, you know, and we said, well, if old Bill Mack can do it, maybe we can too. So this little old town of Shamrock, five of us ended up being professional broadcasters. You just showed us the way, Bill. But
well,
when
you
I was...
showed everybody, Buck, listen, you showed the way for a lot of people.
I give all the credit to you.
There you go.
Yeah. But when I was serving my time out at KEVA, I mean, there were Starday records all over everywhere. You kept that station pretty well supplied with that product.
Yeah, I know. You took me out there and showed me. They were all on the floor broken.
Well, that was 15 years later.
That is too sad right there. That is. So who was the first one to record Drinking Champagne that was successful?
Billy Walker.
Okay.
A lot of people don't know that, but then Cal Smith recorded it. Billy Walker had it on an album. Then Cal Smith recorded it and went to number 26 in the charts. Then about 7-8 years later, George Strait took it to the top.
Yeah, George is probably the one I would say I remember the best, but I was familiar with that song before that. But yeah, George.
Well, yeah, I recorded it too, and I sounded a lot better than George Strait.
Oh, you did?
Yeah, the first recording was by me.
Okay.
But we don't count that. It was Billy Walker, a professional. It was Billy Walker the first to record it.
We're going to listen to that. We'll be back right after this.
Champagne, feeling no pain till early morning, dining and dancing. dancing with every pretty girl I can find. Having a fling with a pretty young thing till early morning. Knowing tomorrow I'll wake up with you on my mind. Guilty conscience, I guess, though I must confess, I never loved you much when you were mine. So I'll keep drinking champagne and feeling no pain till early morning. Dining and dancing with every pretty girl I can find. Having a fling with a pretty young thing till early morning. Knowing tomorrow I'll wake up with you on my mind. With a pretty young thing till early morning. Knowing tomorrow I'll wake up with you on my mind.
The program's Lyrics and Legends you're listening to tonight. I've got Buck Weatherby in the studio. We've been visiting with our good friend Bill Mack, who I want to tell you, get you to tell us a little bit about Blue, because I know that one was also very successful for you. So share a little bit about Blue.
Well, Blue, I recorded Blue on, well, that was on Starday.
Okay.
And it was a regional hit around Wichita Falls. Just, it was country, and I did it, and it, you know, it caught on regionally, but it was not a hit. So 30 years later, this lady called me and said she had this young girl she's looking for a recording for, and it was Marty Rendleman was the lady who called me, and it was Leanne Rimes who was trying to get started. So I got her a copy. There was a girl in San Antonio recorded Blue as a demo record for me. So I just reached up, pulled that out. That just happened to be the song I could reach for and get the quickest. I would have sent her drinking champagne if I couldn't have found Blue. But anyway, I met this lady, Cindy, and I drove over and took the tape to Marty Rendleman, and Leanne recorded it, and the rest is history.
And that would have been in the early 90s, probably, somewhere in
1996.
96,
it,
okay.
It won the Grammy. I got a Grammy, and it was voted the Song of the Year, Country Song of the Year, 1996.
Wow. We're going to listen to that. We'll be back right after this.
Oh, so long.
program is Lyrics and Legends you're listening to tonight. I've got Buck Weatherby in the studio. We've been visiting with our good friend Bill Mack, who, so you also got elected to the Country Music DJ Hall of Fame, is that correct?
Yeah, that was about 1982, I think it was.
Okay, and yeah, that's a pretty big honor. All that, you know, out of little old Shamrock, Texas. Right?
Gary, the last time that I talked to Bill, and I was watching this TV show with Blake Shelton and that gang on it called The Voice.
Right.
And a little gal contestant sang the song Blue and just ripped it apart. And I called Bill and told him, I said, man, a little old gal just sang your song Blue. And Bill was watching the show, and he said, boy, that made me proud.
Yeah, I was watching it, man. I was watching it. That was a thrill. That was a great thrill.
So she did a good job on it, too, didn't she?
Yes, she did.
So you went on from Fort Worth to Satellite for a period of time. How long were you on XM?
Me, 11 years I was with Satellite Radio.
And you drug along kicking and screaming one of our local guys, Joe Jernigan, with you, I think, on that.
Yeah.
Brother Joe.
I always loved to hear you guys on there. That was always kind of pretty neat to get that tie-in. All coming right back to the hometown.
Joe was on my Sunday social, we called it.
Yeah, he told me a lot of stories about guys pulling in off I-40 and visiting church because they had heard him on your program. So I always thought that was pretty interesting.
Yeah.
There was one gospel hymn, Clinging to a Saving Hand, that was recorded by...
Connie Smith.
Connie, okay. All right.
Conway Twitty. That song has been recorded by... more people than Blue. See, Leanne is about the only one who recorded Blue. Drinking Champagne was recorded by a bunch of people. But Clinging to a Saving Hand, the gospel song, is really my personal favorite song of all the songs I've written. And Connie Smith did that first around 1970. Then Conway Twitty recorded it. And John Conley, that's been recorded by a bunch of people.
I've heard John Conley's version on your program that you did for the station. So now,
yeah.
That's a great version of that song. We're going to take a minute and listen to the song. We'll be right back.
Sing me a song of praise and glory. Help this wandering child to understand. Sleep eternal, I'll be clinging to a saving hand. I want you to sing to me about the Rock of Ages and sing about eternity so sweet, so that when I take my last breath of life, I'll awaken at my Savior's feet. I want you to tell me about Paul and Matthew and sing about my dear Savior's birth and tell about his trial and tribulation while he walked upon this heathen earth. Come on and sing me a song of praise and glory. Help this wandering child to understand. Sleep eternal, I'll be clinging to a saving hand. Come on and sing me a song of praise and glory. Help this wandering child. Understand that when I close
be clinging to a saving hand. I'll be clinging to a saving hand.
The program's Lyrics and Legends you're listening to tonight. I've got Buck Weatherby in the studio. We've been visiting with our good friend Bill Mack. You never did get Merle talked into recording drinking champagne or any of those, Merle Haggard? But.
No, Haggard never did record one of my songs.
Okay. Because we were visiting a little earlier about Gene Price from Shamrock, Texas. Are you familiar with Gene?
Yes.
He was a guitar player with...
Oh, he was.
I forgot what Gene... He was with him, I know that, but forgot what he was.
He fronted Merle's band for quite a few years. And,
yeah.
Bill, we appreciate your time. I know there's a ton of stuff we can talk about, but I kind of wanted to get those highlights in here. This program we're doing, we've been featuring mostly local musicians and songwriters, and but we didn't feel like we could do it justice without visiting with you a little bit and getting you on here with us. So we appreciate you taking your time to visit with us one more time, and probably won't be the last.
Let me just say, I'll be with you anytime you need me, anytime that you'll have me, because I'm very proud of what you're doing out there on that station, and just keep it up. Keep doing what you're doing, and like I said, I'm here for you.
All right. Well, hey, we appreciate your time. We'll talk to you again real soon, I'm sure.
My best to both of you.
Shamrock is so proud of you, Bill.
Buck, my boy. Thank you.
You have a good day.
Thank you again.
All right. The program's Lyrics and Legends you're listening to tonight. I've got Buck Weatherby in the studio. We just finished visiting with our good friend Bill Mack, who, you know, I'll just have to say, Bill, from the time we went on the air, he called me and he said, "My boy, anything I can do to help you, you just call me." And he delivered, because he did programs for us. We kind of let him take a little break. He's been busy with other stuff, but we enjoyed Bill taking time to visit with us tonight, share a little bit about the history of music in Wheeler County and Shamrock, and who better to do it than Bill Mack. We also got Buck Weatherby in. We've been visiting with Buck. I want to thank Buck for coming in and sharing his side of the story to keep everybody straight. Thanks,
well,
Buck.
Well, it's a pleasure being in, and anything I can always do to help out the legend.
Well, and you've also done the same thing. It's just fun to do this and be a part of it and have people that have a little experience come give us a little insight on how to make these things happen. But
not including myself in some of the great talent that's come out of this area, but it's kind of amazing in this small town of Shamrock, a lot of the people that have gone into the radio and the entertainment business and kind of made a mark for themselves in this old world.
Yeah, that's pretty good stuff. All right, well, we're going to try to do this again next week. We'll look forward to you tuning in and listening to us.
This has been another edition of Lyrics and Legends with your host, Gary Ware. Join us next time here on Legends 92.9.